I'm Gab, he's Jules. Cloudy skies over West London. Jules, packed show. Ooh, City, yes. Running continues. Manchester City dropping points. Who'd have thought that?
Yeah.
One of us said maybe West Ham might get something from this. But we're going to start at the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
Can I say this to all Liverpool's fans out there? Two down, two to go. The quadruple is on. Well, a bit of work to do, but...
It is. It still is.
It's still there. Exactly. And they're mentality monsters.
Exactly. They are.
What a game, though.
What a game. Similar to the League Cup final in the scenario, very much so. Two teams that played some really good football at times, who were on top at times, could not capitalize on it. And then it went down to penalties, where this time there was no change of goalkeepers. And it didn't go as crazy as the one in the League Cup. But eventually, you had a feeling always that Liverpool had that kind of penalty shootout under control, I thought.
I never had that feeling. I went into this saying like, okay, this can go either way at the end because there were opportunities on both sides.
Yeah, massive.
We're going to get into this into more detail later, but, you know, this is one of my bugbears with penalties. I'm not saying psychology is not important, but when you're a sports psychology type, after the fact, you always look for evidence to go and back everything you said. And like, I didn't see any badly taken penalty. In fact, the worst taken penalty I saw was actually Sadio Mane, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think it was that, whatever it was, it's twice and it's super tight from Tuchel. Beyond the penalties, you gonna pick on Tuchel?
I don't think so. In terms of the shootout, you mean?
No, stuff that happened during the game.
I don't know. I thought he did a lot of things wrong when Liverpool... a lot of things right when Liverpool were on top because they could have sunk. And as soon as they started playing a bit more their game... I saw it very simply. Liverpool had three midfielders because they're playing 4-3-3. Chelsea have two central midfielders, but obviously two wing-backs. Every time at the start of the game when they were 3v2 in midfield, they got overrun, which is normal. As soon as they started using their wing-backs better, it became a 4v3 in midfield, and then Liverpool were overrun, especially at the start of the second half,
right,
and even towards the end of the first half. So I don't think he did many things wrong, I have to say.
No, and that meant conceding the flanks a little bit to Liverpool. Mm-hmm. They built some chances off of that. But, I thought this was a classic game which could go either way. Now, for Liverpool, though... The concern is now injuries because we're talking Virgil van Dijk, Mo Salah, who, you know, I don't think he's been great the last 3 weeks, but he's still Mo Salah. He can still turn it on, change things at any time. And Danny Robertson as well.
Yeah.
Plus
Fabinho, who's already injured.
Plus Fabinho, of course, is already out. Plus Kostas Tsimikas, who, you know, comes from Greece. He has a thirst for crosses. converting, big shout out to Greece. Converting that penalty at the end. I think the strain is showing a little bit, and now a big thing is going to be how does Klopp keep it together, because the title is still there. It's out of their hands.
Yeah.
They play Southampton on Tuesday night, but that's got to weigh in there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you have to go and play for the Southampton game, of course, to win, even if it's a B team. You can still field a decent team. But you can't be thinking too much about injuries, tiredness, Champions League final already, because there's still another less than 2 weeks to go. But I think you have to go for it. You might end up losing 3-1 at Southampton because they pick you on the counter or whatever. But you just need to go for it. There's no calculation.
I need to ask you about a story that's been doing the round about Andreas Christensen. Obviously, he's been critical about the fact
that we saw it before. We told everyone.
We told everybody, why do you keep playing this guy? It's not like he's Beckenbauer when you know he's leaving. You know he's not going to, you know, especially in games which didn't matter. This game did matter.
Yeah.
But in the end, if those reports that he just decides he doesn't fancy the game. And again, we haven't heard Christensen's side of it. But
what could it be? Tuchel would have said, if he was ill, Tuchel would have said. If he was injured, Tuchel would have. Tuchel said he's not injured. It's his own decision. What does that mean? Own decision. He just didn't.
There's only one way you can take that, which is that he has already signed for Barcelona.
Exactly.
Assuming Barcelona can register him, and he doesn't want to play. I, I, I think there's got to be more to it than that, because I refuse to
think.
But
what could it be? What do you think could it be?
Maybe some sort of falling out with Tuchel, maybe words exchange, maybe it is a legitimate. Hey, the reason I say this, and I've never met Andreas Christensen, but he's been at the club since he was 16.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe that somebody wants to go out as the bad guy. It's not like he needs to avoid injury in this game, otherwise Barcelona aren't going to sign him or whatever.
Yeah.
It would just be such an odd behavior.
Weird.
And again, I don't know him.
Yeah.
Maybe he's awful. You know, maybe he goes and beats up puppies in his spare time. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that something happened. It's still unprofessional if he's not injured. But we haven't heard his side. I want to hear his side of the story. So, Andreas, if you want to reach out to us, please let us know. Jules, let's stick with Liverpool, because what we're seeing, and this applies to Liverpool and applies to Manchester City. Manchester City, of course, drawing. If Liverpool win their game in hand against Southampton on Tuesday, it's only going to be a one-point difference. Goal difference, of course, is the ultimate tiebreaker in England. I'm on the record for this. I think it's absolutely stupid to do it that way, but hey, whatever. Different strokes for different folks. That said, what we're seeing is two clubs where injuries have really, really taken taken their toll for City. You know I'm going to talk about this in a minute. I don't need to go there. But Liverpool, these injuries are big. And Salah's decline in form, and obviously both Salah and Mane were at the African Cup of Nations as well.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, we thought he'd addressed it a little bit. I mean, Minamino was relatively productive when he played. You know, you had Jota in the mix. Firmino also picking up injuries, but he was in the mix. Mm. They added Diaz. I kind of feel like Liverpool did what they could to have the numbers in. In hindsight, is he going to wish that maybe he budgeted differently the minutes, or is it always just after the fact?
No, it's easy for us to say now, you could have rested Salah a bit more, especially when he was not playing great. But like you said earlier, Gab, it's still Mo Salah. And I think if you're Klopp and you have obviously all, because they have every single sort of medical information that you want on how his body responding, if you know, if the muscles are tight, if they're not tight, if there's a risk of an injury, if he's on the edge or not. So they would never play him if there was anything at risk. So I think we can think that every time he's played, it's because he was fit enough to play. However, I think we looked, and it's 53 full games that he's played, if you count all his minutes, which is crazy because of the style of football that he is, that he plays, the sprints and you know all that kind of stuff. And the fact that he's had so many huge seasons with a lot of games in the last 4 years, probably, since he got to Liverpool. So maybe, you should have rested it more.
Maybe a bit more time for a man, Divock.
Maybe for Divock. But then maybe you go to a game and say, okay, oh, we need more there. Oh, we need more for that. And maybe you can't.
I think, and we should also stress that Liverpool this season will play every possible game that they can possibly 63. Game because they got to the very end of the League Cup final, of everything. I do think that amidst all this, we need to give a shout out to another Liverpool player who I thought was phenomenal, mid-season signing. Now, with hindsight, we see how much he needed, Luis Diaz. I kind of feel that without the disruption that Luis Diaz caused, I'm not sure this game gets to penalties.
Maybe not. But even Klopp was, for the first time, because we've asked him the question so many times about Diaz, and we've said it. We said it was not supposed to even happen. It was supposed to happen this summer, not at all in January. It is the truth.
Okay,
it is the truth. The plans was for the summer, not for January. That's why they signed him on the 31st of Jan. This is very simple. But even Klopp on Saturday said after the game, I'm so amazed of how well he's adapted and how he's almost carrying the team now, because that's what he did on Saturday. I really felt that he carried that team. They were really good, especially the first 25 minutes and towards the second half of the second half, but he carried them. It was huge. The threat that he represents for the opposition is just incredible.
Let's talk Chelsea forwards on the other end. Christian Pulisic, I thought, you know, he effectively played in a front two with Lukaku, with Mount behind. His finishing could have obviously been better.
It should have been better.
But I thought, other than that, if you're a USMNT fan, you're encouraged. Because I think it's really a big vote of confidence.
Yeah.
And I thought he answered the call.
Yeah, completely. I don't know if he would have started had Havertz not been injured. I don't know what would have been the front three. But you've asked for a Lukaku Havertz front three. I thought he would come this game. But again, Havertz is not there. Werner clearly out of favour in the sense that he stayed on the bench the whole game. So you put Pulisic and you say, go and run at them. You know, make those runs that will trouble them, because Van Dijk will not know if he has to come with you. Trent, we know Trent defensively is thinking, when do I get the ball to do something with it instead of without it? And I think this is, he was almost the joker. He was the wild card, Pulisic, in that game. And he used that kind of freedom so well, because they really didn't know how to pick him up, the Liverpool defence. The problem was the finishing.
I want to ask about the Havertz injury, because I think this is a bit of an underreported story, right?
Yeah, because I agree too. Because
he's on the bench for the previous games.
Yeah, it doesn't come on.
Maybe he's not fit. We thought he was being rested for this. Now they say, oh, well, he's injured. So, like, did he get injured in between? Was he on the bench before? And more broadly, the dichotomy between him and Lukaku. Again, I don't think there should be a dichotomy.
No.
I thought Lukaku did what was asked of him in this game. He's not going to get the kind of service. I think he can build a partnership with Pulisic.
Yeah, I agree.
And maybe more similar to the one he had with Lautaro. You know, he is not just, big lump, crosses, blah, blah, blah. That's not what he does. I thought he did his job in this game.
Yeah, there's that chance in the first half that he blasts over the bar, that maybe he rushes a little because Van Dijk is there. And I think Van Dijk is so impressive that you think, I need to hit this perfect, I need to hit it now, because otherwise he's going to come and block it. And maybe he could have had an extra second or two. But yeah, I thought he caused them problems. I really did think he caused them problems. And you didn't always see it, because he didn't always touch the ball, or he didn't always end up into a chance for him. But he created a lot of space for Pulisic that they used well, for Alonso that they used well, for Mount that they used well. I thought Mount, I know a lot of Chelsea fans were not happy with the penalty miss. And I think the abuse they got is outrageous, of course. But I thought Mount had a really good game. And I still think he's Chelsea best player this season, or not far from it. And I thought Lukaku helped him massively to have a good game. So yeah, I think I could see what Tuchel was trying to do, and he almost worked, to be fair.
I want to get to the penalty piece. I retweeted this, a lot of people this. There was a story in the Times that had a lot of attention. There's a guy named Geir Jordet who is followed by a lot of people I really respect in Bayern football. And
yeah,
so
me too.
I don't want to dismiss everything he says, but he went through the thread. Process thread, I have it, I retweeted on Twitter if you want to check it out, where basically he contrasts the approach of Klopp and Tuchel going into the penalties. Mm.
The 5 minutes before the start of the shootout.
Exactly. So Klopp, first of all, he says that Klopp already has his five penalty takers figured out, whereas Tuchel doesn't actually go into the huddle. Like when Tuchel goes into the huddle, Klopp is already done with the huddle, just about. And he's still scribbling on a piece of paper.
When Klopp has gone one-on-one with the five takers, with the hugs and with that extra confidence, Tuchel is still almost deciding in the middle of all the players.
Now, I don't believe Tuchel's still deciding anything. I think he's just writing down. He might have even been talking about this. I know that, you know my feelings on body language. It's very easy after the fact, right? I would have been more impressed if you'd put this thread out before the, you know, just as the penalty kick started, like, oh, look, let's look for this, right? Do we think psychology played into this penalty shootout?
I do. I know you disagree. Listen, we had this with Stevie Nicol when we talked about the throwing coach. Football is all about details, especially in those big games in finals. If you can have someone you work with who brings something a bit different to you, to your players, Klopp is the most intelligent guy. Why would he employ someone for penalties that is useless, that doesn't bring anything to the team? Why? Why would he credit those people, that company, after the game, saying this win is for them, same for the League Cup final, because they helped us winning those penalty shootouts? Why would I not believe them?
Maybe because he paid them to come and... I'm not saying this stuff hurts, but to suggest that this whole marginal gains industry that's been created, I think it can detract from something else, because then my question would be, why did Mane take such a bad penalty? Did Mane bottle it? No, he didn't, because we've seen Mane take great penalties in the past, right?
So then Klopp says, I told Mane to change his side.
Yeah.
And have you seen Mane during the penalty shootout? Mane was not in the huddle. Right. He was not on the Liverpool line.
Oh, so he didn't get the magic hug?
No. He got the, no. Listen, what I'm saying. Mane was clearly very stressed before to take a penalty against Mendy. From the beginning, regardless, they could have been 3-0 down, 3-0 up in the penalty shootout. Mm-hmm. He kept walking up and down before. Whether that's because Klopp said to him, he knows you so well, Mendy, change, do something different than what you usually do because he's your friend, because you're like brothers, and he knows exactly where you're going to take it.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I don't buy it. I think this is
You don't
is
buy Klopp. That? But how can you not buy that Mane?
I think
that Mane is thinking way before the penalty because he's against one of his best friends.
Mendy's thinking way before the penalty too.
But Mendy can't do that because Mendy is facing penalties every 30 seconds.
That is a fair point.
I'm amazed that you don't believe that Mane, that could have disturbed Mane, the fact that he was going to shoot against his best friend.
I guess what I'm driving at is, then you've got all this research, why do you put Mane up as your fifth penalty taker if you think he's not ready? If you have all these experts psychoanalyzing Mane, A, were they the people who told, since Klopp says it's my fault that I told them to shoot somewhere else, I'm like, okay, Klopp, did you think about this on, but let's assume it's true. And again, I don't believe it is, but let's assume it's true.
Well, you don't believe what's true.
I don't believe Klopp told him to shoot somewhere else.
But Klopp said it.
Okay, fine. And if, you know, I believe that he said it. Well, I think Klopp is defending his own player, frankly. Which is his job as a manager.
Yeah, I got no issue with that.
But what I'm curious of, this company that they hired to, what, did they tell Klopp, hey, Klopp, tell Mane to shoot somewhere else? Did Klopp just think of it on his own?
I don't have enough details.
I just seem to be like these stories where I kind of feel like...
Something I like, for example, is that every time a Liverpool player was coming to take his pen, Alisson was waiting on the edge of the box with the ball. Instead of going back onto his side and Mendy into the goal, Alisson was waiting there with the ball, almost like
maybe that's not what that does. That stops Mendy from screwing around and waiting and try to freeze the kicker. No, so look, stuff like that, I think, comes into it in penalties. But when I look at these penalties, when I say who was rattled, who was fazed by it, like I said, Mane, maybe Mason Mount. Even Azpilicueta missed, but I thought that was a well-taken penalty. There was somebody else actually where Mendy nearly got to it.
I
don't think Liverpool took better penalties necessarily.
No,
than
true,
Chelsea.
They won again.
And two down, two to go. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough FA Cup final. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Like it says on your jumper. There you go. Manchester City have to come from 2 goals down away to West Ham to avoid defeat. Magic. Gerard Bowen. That's why he was my pick for the hipster player of the year. Jules, if Liverpool win their game in hand away to Southampton on Tuesday, the gap will be just a single point heading into the final day of the season.
Incredible. World title race. 3 years ago, remember, they finished a point apart from each other 10 years ago. Obviously, the Kun Aguero goal that finished on goal difference. It's going to be incredible. I really hope, I don't care about Liverpool or Southampton, you know, but I really hope Liverpool do get the win at Southampton on Tuesday. I will be at that game, by the way, if you are. Come and have a chat. And then it's all down to Sunday, home to Wolves, home to Villa, who's going to do it, kick off at the same time, everybody watching or listening to the other game and the two screens and all of that, because it's going to be great. I still think City, of course, have to be the favourite because they've got the destiny in their own hands, but it's going to be...
Although Villa have a bunch of ex-Liverpool players and an ex-Liverpool manager. Riyad Mahrez, you're going to have a go at him, the psychology before the... Or was that actually a good save from Fabianski?
I do think that he shoots there a lot, which left-footers do. I know Tsimikas opened his left foot to score the winner on Saturday, but left-footed players tend to shoot across the goal on penalties. And Fabianski had stopped one of his before.
I want to say this about Manchester City too, and the refereeing. I thought there were two stonewall penalties on Gabriel Jesus.
One for sure. I agree with you on one.
The first one, the Zuma one.
Yeah.
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 But
the atmosphere was incredible. I was there. It was something else, that game. Really, everything, something else. Gab, I know you want to gloat about this, so here I am. Here am I to help you. So tell me again about Manchester City depth. You know, in the game yesterday at the London, I was thinking of you. I almost texted you, but it was a Sunday afternoon, and I thought about you and your depth of squad all game long.
All this planning, all these experts go into it. Pep Guardiola says, yes, we need 19 players to go into the season. Yeah. Remember, they chased Harry Kane. Maybe they even needed, they needed 20. What happens? They lose Mendy for the reasons that we know. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm repeating myself. I know. But I think this is important.
It is important.
And then Ferran Torres goes like, oh, no, we only need 17, right? And look, I don't think you need six center backs. But what I'm saying is Nathan Ake is on the bench. The reason he's not playing is because he's injured. He can stand. That's why he's on the bench. And Fernandinho certainly cost them on one of the goals. I thought cost them probably on the other goal too, because the way he
Zinchenko more,
but the way he wins the header almost aimlessly, like a central midfielder pretending he's a center back, which is kind of exactly what he is. Maybe Rodri, if you have another midfielder, maybe Rodri can play center back.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have Gabriel Jesus up front, maybe somebody who can actually score. And by the way, other shout out to I'm surprised you didn't mention this on the Pep front. Not a single substitution.
Yeah.
You have Foden and Sterling on the bench. You don't make a substitution. Someday, I want Pep to explain the psychology of it, because he's either brilliant. You look at his record, he's brilliant.
I thought it was the rain.
Maybe. But it's unusual. Bayern draw 2-2 Wolfsburg in an irrelevant game. Completely. But the news is that Herbert Heiner, the club CEO, has said
nine
to Robert Lewandowski leaving this summer. He says, whatever happens, he's going to see out his contract, which runs until June 2023. Jules, I'm a fan when clubs take a hard line. Are you? And how's this going to end?
I am. Yeah, I like it. But we know that there's a very big difference between what you say on May the 15th, right, when you say nine, and what could happen between the 1st of June and the end of August. But Lewandowski is going to leave. I can guarantee you.
Really? Okay, this is where I disagree, because I was actually thinking about this, right? Who among the teams that Lewandowski would want to go to can realistically show up with a credible offer? I know there's reports of Barcelona, they're offering him a 3-year deal.
It depends.
The man turns 34 years old in August.
Depends how much Bayern ask as well. If they ask for 50 million for 1 year left on his contract.
Let's say Bayern asks for 10 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to show up with that?
I think
Do you think Manchester United would be like, oh yeah, worked out so well when we got an old striker before Cavani?
Lewandowski is not Cavani.
Okay, no, and Lewandowski is not going to go to Manchester United and not play Champions League football. No. So where's he going to go?
That's true.
I was actually thinking about this.
Kylian Mbappe, who I think should announce very soon his future, and I fear the worst.
We'll get to Mbappe.
Then Lewandowski comes in and replaces him.
At Paris Saint-Germain.
What about Chelsea? We said if Lukaku goes.
Lukaku's
Chelsea
not going. Nobody's going to give you money for Lukaku.
I know, but right. I'm just saying. Oliver Kahn came after that and said, you know what? We also have a plan B, a plan C, a plan D if he leaves. So already the door had been open. Once Heiner had said nine, Kahn had opened the door and said, we have a plan B already and a C and a D. So come on. Cadiz needed 3 points against Real Madrid. They got one as he finished 2-2 and Alvaro Negredo missed the penalty. Gab, this game didn't matter for Real at all, of course. And we saw plenty of players rested. Any clues to Ancelotti's thinking ahead of the final in Paris at the end of the month?
I was trying to put on my Ancelotti hand. Two things are interesting to me. So we saw Asensio, Rodrigo and Valverde start. We assumed they're the three guys who are competing. Mariano scored as well.
Yeah.
And we assume those are the three guys who are competing for that spot number 11. We also saw Kroos and Casemiro start. I guess the idea is to keep them fit and moving, as well as Militao. So short answer, no, I have no clue whatsoever what he's going to do. I would assume we'll see more starters on the last day of the season. Rafael Leão and your boy Teo Hernandez doing his George Weah impression. They turned on the style as Milan beat Atalanta 2-0. Took them a while to get going, but once they did, they looked like champions, no?
They did.
All they need is a point or more away to Sassuolo on the last day of the season.
Exactly. Avoid defeat to Sassuolo, then title is yours. Incredible goal by Teo to start with. picked the ball on the edge of his own box and then run through the whole pitch and scored this incredible goal of the season for me. And you know what? After he scored, this is how my VAR mind works. It's like, is there anything? Is there a player who was offside? I ran in front of someone.
Was there a foul something? On Pessina maybe? At the which, you know, some people felt
yeah,
it was.
Well, certainly, yeah, certainly, yeah, for the Rafael Leao goal. But Theo, amazing. And amazing second half, the way they went and won that game, which was not easy. Well done to them. Incredible. I think they've got this now. I have to be honest. I think they've got this.
All right.
Inter, on the other hand, Gab, stay right behind Milan as they win away to Cagliari 3-1. And Lautaro Martinez is up to 25 goals this season in all competition. And Simone Inzaghi reminded Milan that, as a player, he wants pip them on the last day of the season with Lazio, right?
That's right. It was with Lazio. So, you know, they're doing their best. All they can do, all they can do is hang in there. They're playing Sampdoria. Again, in Serie A, as you know, it's head-to-head. So if they finish level on points, Milan are going to win this. But it doesn't take away from a tremendous season from Inter. All the stuff they had to do with and deal with. I think it gives you with hope. They need to be smart in how they deal with the transfer market this summer. Yeah. I think that's going to be the key for them. Harry Kane penalty gives Tottenham Hotspur a 1-0 win over Burnley that sees them back in the top four, though Arsenal, who kick off in a few hours as we record this on a Monday morning, they're away to Newcastle. They, of course, have a game in hand. But Jules, Burnley are furious at that penalty call.
Yeah, and you can understand why. The law says it's a pen, you give the pen. Right. Barnes is very close to Davinson Sanchez, who fluffs the ball, let's be honest, onto the arm of of Barnes. He's got his arms wide, I think, because there was a bit of a tussle between him and Davinson at the beginning of the move, if you want. Based the law. So you, I think you have to give it if you're the ref.
And you have to know that the law is if you're Burnley, and frankly, if you're Ashley Barnes, I would expect from you as a professional, you can go on YouTube and you be your own. It's not, by the way, it's not just Ashley Barnes. There's some other dude who's also standing there next to the Burnley guy.
I'm not sure it can be different. It goes so quick, Gab.
He's not jumping.
But he was in a tussle with Sanchez.
That's fine. Then find a way to free yourself from the tussle without having your arm all the way out there.
I know, but I can see the frustration. I can. I definitely.
I know, but it's not how we come out. For me, it's not a pen. Okay, I don't care what you think about a pen. You want to be frustrated because it was close and you're fighting to avoid relegation. I get all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But these are the laws of the game. Just deal with it. You should know what they are. Yeah, yeah. It's not like they made them up yesterday.
That's true. Two Burnley fans were arrested at the game after one of them appeared to make a Nazi salute towards Spurs supporters. Both clubs have condemned them. Gav?
Yeah, I can only praise the law enforcement for intervening. This is just not allowed in England.
No
in some cases, it might fall under the free expression rubric. Certainly not here.
Definitely
it's offensive.
Not.
It's unacceptable. Well done, Burnley and Spurs, for condemning him. And I hope this dude never shows up at Turf Moor ever again. Paris Saint-Germain destroyed Montpellier 4-0 as Lionel Messi bagged two goals, taking his seasonal total to six. But Jules,
better than he was before the game.
But Jules, Kylian Mbappe won his Player of the Year award, no surprise there, and gave us some news about his future, or not.
Yeah, he said that this is it now. He's decided, almost, he said. Almost decided, and that we will know very soon. We asked him.
Almost decided is like being almost pregnant. You've either decided or you haven't.
I know, but because he said, it's decided. And then after that, he added quasiment in French, which is like almost really. Another one. I was like, what? You have decided or you have not really almost decided?
All right, Kylian,
I think we know. I don't want to say but I think we know what's going to happen very, very soon. Now he's going to announce it. And sticking with PSG, Gab, which makes you happy, Gigio Donnarumma was voted Ligue 1 Goalkeeper of the Year. Well done to him. And I guess we can say that he was minimalist since he only started 17 league games.
It's not minimalist. This is stupid. You know all my love for Gigio Donnarumma. I'd love to know who the hell votes on this.
The players.
What are they? Like the Muppet Show of players?
No,
like,
all the league
players. This is, honestly, this is the union, same thing. So. But I have this disdain for the PFA award here in England. Is that it's completely stupid to give this to the
guy.
Maybe
they've been impressed when they played against him 17 times.
It's a Player of the Season award, not a who impressed you most or who is the tallest Italian in Ligue 1.
A player of half of a season.
Oh, my God.
Not
ridiculous.
Even half of it.
Ridiculous.
Almost half, like Kylian would say.
Erik ten Hag has been released early from his job at Ajax, and he'll be getting to work straight away at Manchester United. I don't think he's getting a day off this summer.
No.
This is good news, right? That's what you paid for?
I think it's good news. He's making, sending the right message. There's still stuff to sort out for his backroom staff. already, I think, in transfers. He wants to have a chat. And he's already talked about the dressing room, control of the dressing room. I suspect he knows that a lot of former managers have talked about that and could not handle it either. So, and he was also asked about the Sharks, which is the English media, so I guess us too. And he said, I don't see any journalists as Sharks, nor in England or nor in the Netherlands. So good on him.
Good, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last time Manchester United had a Dutch coach, and admittedly it was after the World Cup, he took a couple of weeks off, which he's entitled to, but, you know, Erik ten Hag, Louis van Gaal, two different people.
Different stuff. Paul Pogba's people, meanwhile, are meeting with Juventus today ahead of their game against Lazio, so on Monday night. Gab, there's talk of a four-year deal.
Yeah, obviously, Mino Raiola no longer with us. Rafaela Pimenta, who was his business partner, is reportedly meeting in Turin. I guess they're going to have lunch or whatever. There's a difference in expectation already in terms of salary, but he will be taking a pay cut.
Yeah.
He's after a four-year deal. He seems committed. He's also going to talk to Paris Saint-Germain.
That's right.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I think if he's fit and he's committed, he's a tremendous option for Juve's midfield, even 100%. Though he's an older player.
100%. I'm with you completely.
Atletico Madrid and Sevilla draw 1-1, which suits both sides, as both have qualified for the Champions League. But Jules, the story isn't the game. It's Luis Suarez saying farewell to the Wanda Metropolitano.
Yeah, he said he would leave the club, of course, after the last game of the season. There was a lot of tears. There was a big banner saying you won us the championship, of course, last season, where he had that first incredible half of the season. Wonderful. And then our friend Sid Lowe, who spoke to him for ESPN after the game, said, so what's next now? Are you going to stop? And Luis looks at him and said, what? Stop? What do you mean? Like, no way, no chance. So let's see where he goes. He wants to stay in Europe. Nothing about MLS, Inter
Miami,
for example, or the
Steven Gerrard.
Like yeah.
Getting Steven the boys Gerrard. Back together with Coutinho. How about that?
I didn't think about that. Amazing. Yeah. That could be great. Another goodbye, Gab. Napoli beat Genoa 3-0 and Lorenzo Insigne scores and says farewell to his city and the Stadio Maradona. He had this big trophy that was almost taller than him.
Yeah, well, he is a very small man. it was weird. He read out a letter. It was touching. He's been a great servant to the club. Sorry about the circumstances in which he leaves. It was kind of funny, too, because the ultras, they were chanting against Aurelio De Laurentiis, the club president. So what they did was they simply cranked up the noise of whistling and booing instead of the actual insults towards De Laurentiis, which I suppose is a form of free expression. Wild stuff at Goodison as Everton let slip a 2-1 lead, go down to 10 men, and lose at home to Brentford 3-2. Jules, they're still not safe, and Frank Lampard is angry.
Very angry. Then there was even a second sending off for Solomon Rondon, who was sent off late in the game. Crazy, crazy game. Also, accusation from Brentford players of abuse to their families, racism abuse. So not a good look at all. Leeds need an injury time goal from Pascal Struck to avoid defeat at home to Brighton. Gab, they're out of the relegation zone just for now. But things still look tough for Jesse Marsh.
They do look tough. Leeds, just the one goal left. It's Brentford away. They can win it and still go down. That's the reality. Burnley, Villa away, Newcastle at home, and of course Everton. Palace at home, which I think if they stay up is where they're going to stay up. And Arsenal away. It's going to go down to the wire.
Crazy.
It's going to be tough.
Incredible.
I still think Leeds can stay up, but obviously they need all 3 points against Brentford and Thomas Frank. Barcelona draw 0-0 away to Getafe. Jules, do you want to lament the fact that they managed just one shot on target? Or celebrate the fact that they finished second?
What a bad game. It was terrible. Let's say they were already on holidays, no problem. Yeah, they're second. They were ninth when Xavi arrived. He changed a lot of things. Not always great football and great entertainment. Of course, I give you that. But the progress was still massive. So well done to them.
That's what you got to look for. And Xavi, by the way, said like, we qualified for the Spanish Super Cup.
Yeah,
I was like, exactly. Whoa, cool. Yeah, that's bold. Well done, Xavi.
Yeah, well done. Farewells in Dortmund too, where Erling Haaland and sporting director Michael Zorc said goodbye in the 2-1 win over Hertha. Gab, we talked plenty about Haaland, who went partying in his tracksuit after the game as well. So I'm going to ask you about Zorc.
But phenomenal. Michael Zorc joined the club in 1978.
That's crazy.
Something mad like that. Look, I think he's going to be... I've been critical of some of their... You know, we're the smartest guys in the room. Yeah, look at all these young players we sell in. But let's not forget, Michael Zorc, in addition to being a phenomenal footballer and phenomenal servant to the club, he also brought Klopp to the club. And he also built the side that reached the Champions League final
and won
two league titles under Jurgen Klopp. So... I think it was time. It's time for the club to evolve and to move and to move something on. Else.
Yeah, definitely.
But well done, Zorc.
It is credit, yeah.
Jules, you called it.
Nine
wins out of nine for Monaco. A hat trick for Wissam Ben Yedder.
Amazing.
And they're up to second because Marseille somehow lost to Rennes 2-0. I guess both these teams have their European places locked up. But here's my question.
Yeah.
Will Ben Yedder win the scoring title too? He's one behind Kylian.
One behind Kylian with so much momentum as well. I mean, PSG play Metz at home, so you could expect Kylian to score five, which for what could be his last game for PSG.
Right. Ben Yedder, you need six.
Yeah, so much momentum for him. Incredible what Clément is doing at the moment. Marseille under huge pressure because even their third place, Rennes could come and nick it maybe.
Well, they'd have to lose the final.
Well, I know, but anything in Marseille, they've lost 22 points this season already. So, you know, it's crazy, crazy. That last match day in Ligue 1 was going to be fascinating. Roma ahead 1-1 by Venezia and are currently sixth in the table, Gab, but they could be seventh by tomorrow since Fiorentina played tonight on Monday night. Gab, they finished seventh last season and reached the Europa League semi-final under Paolo Fonseca. Mourinho does have the Europa Conference League final, of course, to look forward to. But how would you assess his first season at the club?
Okay, so first of all, Jules, about this game, and I'm not joking, Roma hit the woodwork four times. Yeah. They had 46 shots on goal to four. I think we could almost count this as a W.
Yeah, definitely.
That said, and I know Mourinho defines himself by titles, this, right? And league standing and blah, blah, blah. All right, so it's not going to look good in the end because they spent a ton of money in the summer and so on. However, I don't judge based on that. I judge based on, are you building something there? I don't use, if I've ever used Mourinho's own parameters, I wouldn't see any reason to justify the progress they made this season. But I don't use Mourinho's. I use Gab's parameters.
Yeah.
And I think they did a 180 turn after Fonseca, who, you know, we're both big fans of. I think he did a good job in really difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
He's got the fans on side. It feels like they're building something. It feels like they have momentum.
Yeah.
If they win the Conference League, it is another trophy, which Roma, you know, don't think they've won tons of trophies over the years. So I think in the end, the judgment's going to come next season, and I think it's going to be a positive season for Jose Mourinho.
I agree with
But if you just look by the league standings, you know, sorry.
Yeah.
Bruges are champions in Belgium following their 3-1 win away to Antwerp. Jules, I have a feeling you're going to celebrate Charles de Ketelaere.
Of course, Charles de Ketelaere, amazing players. Without doubt, the player of the season over there. And I need to mention as well Union Saint-Gilloise, who obviously led in the regular season, if you want, the table. They were amazing, just being promoted as well. Fantastic team in the outskirts of Brussels. Came short to win the title, and Bruges, I think, deserves it in the end. With experience, but Union Saint-Gilloise were fantastic from start to finish. So well done to them. We like them when the Minos do well.
No, and if you want to look up, by the way, the league standings, do not be alarmed if you're not familiar with Belgian football. They have this funky playoff system, which is slightly difficult, but we can confirm they have won the title.
Yeah, they have won the title. A leaked version of Newcastle's third kit for next season has caused uproar. Gab, can you tell us why?
So we should point out that we don't know if this is actually Newcastle's third kit. So I want to kind of reserve.
It's a leak. Yeah, it's not a leak. The club announcing.
And, you know, it could be, who knows where it comes from. However, it looks exactly like the Saudi Arabia kit from like 1998.
Yeah.
Or 1990, was it the Al-Wairan game? When you've gone through such trouble to say separate entities, we're not a tool for the Saudi state, blah, 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 you know, separate entities, even though like they're all literally owned by the Saudi sovereign wealth fund. And, you know, the chairman of the sovereign wealth fund is the guy who runs, is MBS, who runs Saudi Arabia, whatever. It's just not a good look. I'm hoping Newcastle were stitched up. I'm hoping somebody mischievous put this. I'm hoping they're not really going to do this because this would be bad. And we've already seen
it would be terrible.
A bunch of Newcastle fans saying, you know what? Our colors matter to me.
Of course.
And, you know, we believed you when you came in, but this is a bad look.
Yeah, a third kit you can play with a little bit, all the teams do it, but this is
very, very loaded when you make it look like Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, this is a no.
Chelsea women have done the domestic double, beating Manchester City in extra time in the FA Cup final, 3-2. They were winning 2-1, and then City pulled one back towards the end. Emma Hayes goes from strength to strength.
Incredible, Gab. I mean, again, we are big fans here, so we will always praise her and Sam Kerr and all the team. Domestic double, third title in a row. This is their fourth FA Cup win as well. it's the Champions League that they need now, and I believe they are the best team in Europe with Barcelona. We could not see that final this year. We saw it last season. Hopefully they see next season where they can come close and maybe winning it. But what a team, what a legacy they're building is incredible. Stuttgart avoid relegation, and our friend Pellegrino Matarazzo, of course, with a dramatic late winner from Watao Endo against Cologne. Gab?
Yeah, well, I think, wow, strictly speaking, they avoided the relegation playoff. But
yeah,
still,
playoff, yeah. That's not going to go.
The combination of Hertha losing against Borussia Dortmund, it's a scramble of the boxes, the far post, boom, he puts it away. This is nuts. I'm very happy for Stuttgart. Obviously, they did so well last season. This year, you know, it's been tougher. It's drama. Stuttgart, I think, belong in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Arsenal reportedly on the verge of their first signing of the summer. It's Sao Paulo's 19-year-old winger, Marquinhos. Okay, not to be confused with the other Marquinhos, blah, blah, blah. I'm guessing this is a long-term play because I don't see how he's going to get near the first team in the short term.
No, it is. You're right. It's a five-year deal. I think he might maybe stay on loan in Brazil as well.
Maybe he could score his first league goal while he's there.
Yeah, maybe. I think Edu has been quite keen to say that Arsenal should be the go-to when signing those young players. So he's not as expensive as a Vinicius, for example. Because
$3.5 million was reported.
Yeah, which I believe is true. But I think they really want in Brazil to put the name of Arsenal there for those really young, talented players. I think from the highlights that I've seen, he looks really good. But again, still so young, still so raw, not ready, as you said, for the first team. So we will see. But yeah, why not? Let's see. Let's just give him time and the team to develop him.
So to be clear, it does not mean that Bukayo Saka is leaving, yeah?
No, I don't think so. I hope not. For sure. Werder Bremen are back in the Bundesliga, Gab, between them and Schalke, with Hamburg, by the way, in the playoff against Hertha. Does it feel like normal service been resumed?
Kind of. I feel like these are the familiar teams. These are the Traditionsvereine. It's nice to have them. Nice to have them back. Those of us who grew up with the Werder Bremen of Rudi Völler and later, of course, Thomas Schaaf, all those years.
And Schalke third best,
of course, we talked about them before when they secured their promotion earlier. Look, I think it's great. We love the Minnows when they do well and whatnot. But it's also nice to have big clubs, big fan bases, and big potential. Yeah. Because once these clubs get promoted, I think they can capitalize it as well. Maybe put up more competition.
Exactly.
It makes the league better.
Yeah.
Idrissa Gueye was not in the squad for Paris Saint-Germain against Montpellier on Saturday, according to RMC and other outlets.
Yeah.
He didn't want to play in a rainbow kit to support LGBTQ rights, Jules.
Yeah, that's right, Gab. I mean, I have to be honest here, I haven't been able yet to confirm it, either from the club or from Idrissa Gueye or his people.
We should point that out. For those who don't know, in support of LGBTQ rights, Paris Saint-Germain have a special kit that they play in once a year.
Last year he didn't play either because he had a stomach bug. And this year, I was told it was personal reasons, so make what you want of that. But there's clearly a pattern as well, which I personally find baffling.
It's not a good look. I think that if whatever your views are, if you decide, you know, you do have a right to,
of course,
to express them, and if you don't feel comfortable in it, I would like it if you explain your reasons and dealt with a fallout rather than leave people wondering. I mean, my take is, as far as free expression is concerned, your right to free expression ends when it impacts somebody else. Does Idrissa Gueye not playing in this match impact LGBTQ community, other than reminding them that there are people out there who do not share, this will for inclusivity and don't like them? No, I don't think it does. More important to me is all the players who did wear it and the message that's out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Would be good, that's though, instead of hiding, if he has his views.
Yeah.
And then Paris Saint-Germain can decide, hey, I may not want to be associated with somebody who doesn't reflect my club's values.
Yeah, completely. Mark Noble has retired from West Ham after 18 years. I mean, certainly there's one more game, but that was his farewell at the London Stadium. Gab, this was very emotional. I clapped a lot, to be fair, for him.
You were there. You retweeted his letter to the fans.
Incredible.
It's stuff like this. One club man. I love the fact. You know, Mark Noble played with Don Hutchinson, who played with Thomas Repka, who played with John Moncur, who played with Julian Dix, who played with Trevor Brooking, who at some point must have played with Bobby Moore.
Mark Noble played with Lucas
and Alvin Martin. Yeah. And you could trace it all the way back to the beginning of West Ham and the Thames Ironworks.
The Academy of Football. You know, that's what
That's what it's out. Shout out to Mark Noble. Shout out to Francesco Totti.
Great career.
To all the one club men out there. Oh, fun fact I didn't mention before I mentioned Real Madrid. Real Madrid captained by Nacho. And Cadiz catnap captained by his brother, Alex.
And that's true.
Pretty cool, of course. Very cool. And on that note of fraternity, Jules, we're going to leave you, but we're going to come back on Thursday because there'll be more light shed on the Premier League title race. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.